Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A fire at a shuttered hotel and apartment building in Fairbanks drew a major response yesterday. University Fire Department Chief Doug Schrage says the fire at the College Inn building near the corner of Geist Road and Fairbanks Street was called in around 5 a.m. Monday and threatened a neighboring Holiday gas station and convenience store.
Ladder 12 from our University Avenue fire station was the first to arrive, and they reported heavy flames and smoke issuing from the northern end, and Ladder 12 positioned between the Holiday store and the College Inn to do exposure protection.
Chief Schrage describes damage to the Holiday store as minor and says the College Inn fire was brought under control with assistance from five other departments before 9 a.m. yesterday. He says firefighters spent the rest of the day working hot spots and searching the structure, which was officially unoccupied.
It's been vacant, we think, for about a year. And there have been observations that transient people have been living in the building.
Schrage says no bodies were found in the burned structure. He says the two-story U-shaped College Inn complex is made up of ATCO trailer units. He says a little over 50% of the building was structurally damaged by the flames. There's no information yet on the fire's cause. Dozens of people attended a meeting last night in Fairbanks to comment on ConocoPhillips' proposed Willow oil and gas project in the National Petroleum Reserve. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The Federal Bureau of Land Management scheduled Monday's meeting to get input on a draft environmental impact statement on the Willow prospect, located on the northeastern corner of the National Petroleum Reserve. The usual suspects testified in favor of the project, like Scott Eichholt, business manager of the Laborers Union Local 942.
The Willow project is a much-needed boost to the overall energy industry and to workers who rely on those jobs. It could take more than 7 years to construct the project and support 2,000 construction jobs, and could inject hundreds of millions of dollars into the Alaskan economy.
Eichholt says ConocoPhillips estimates the project will produce some 130,000 barrels of oil a day. Greater Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Marissa Schera says that could help fill the pipeline, which for years has been running at about 25% capacity.
The estimated production rate from Willow could be about 20% of an increase over current throughput, and will help this critical component of Alaska's infrastructure remain viable for decades.
But opponents like Sikkenik Maupin say the project would produce more climate-changing greenhouse gases and would further foul the environment around Nuiksut, the village located near the Willow site, and other existing oil and gas operations.
We have poor water quality up north. We have poor air quality. We are seeing cancer rates soar. And it's disturbing to see many people that talk about jobs over people's health.
She says her family in Nuiksut and others there say the oil industry's emissions of particulate matter like PM2.5 have dramatically increased asthma, especially among children. And she says other byproducts have harmed the fish and wildlife area residents depend on for subsistence.
We have had Nuiksut residents come with sick fish. They can't eat anymore. That's our traditional food. We have had caribou that have had black bone marrow. We haven't gotten answers for this. Now, this is alarming.
But oil field worker Jesse Nee of Fairbanks says that's not what he sees up on the slope.
And I've worked in Prudhoe long enough. I've seen more wildlife up there than I've seen pretty much anywhere else that I go. I've spent a lot of time in the bush.
Project opponents say that's corporate spin. They say state and federal agencies must conduct more studies on how the oil industry is affecting the health of residents and wildlife. Carolina Pavic says more air quality monitors are needed, besides the one in Nuiksut operated by ConocoPhillips. Also needed, she says, are more independent reviews of computer-generated models based on the monitor. Data.
You put some numbers in a computer, but where do those numbers generate from?
Pamela Miller says the final environmental impact statement must include, among other things, more plain language explanations. And she says more maps are needed, including some that would show all the many oil and gas operations around the Willow Project and studies that show their cumulative impacts.
There's too much, too soon, too fast.
Maupin and others also said the federal government must stop trying to complete the environmental impact statement process within a year, as President Trump has ordered.
And we need to slow down this process that's been rushed.
BLM project manager Rachel Jones said after the meeting that her agency has tried to comply with the administrative directive to streamline the EIS process, but she says she was unable to accomplish that with the Willow project.
We set milestone schedules to meet that time frame, and we're not able to achieve that.
Public comments on the draft EIS will be accepted through October 29th. The final EIS is scheduled to be completed next February, and a final decision on the project is due in March. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Horses were targeted by thieves in Fairbanks Goldstream Valley. An Alaska State Trooper report says they were notified Friday that hair had been cut off a horse at a property on Goldstream Road. Troopers say they've been notified of similar recent incidents in the area and ask anyone with information to contact them. A Fairbanks man faces charges for dumping a vehicle into the Chena River. According to a state trooper dispatch, 29-year-old Mario Bruce admitted to dumping the older model sedan into the river near the end of Chena Small Tracks Road on the west side of town. Troopers say the vehicle was reported to be partially submerged in the water about 30 feet from shore on September 3rd. They say the State Department of Environmental Conservation responded to clean up oil from the water and riverbank. The vehicle was removed from the river. Bruce was issued a summons for polluting a salmon stream and is due in court next month. Researchers from the University of Calgary and University of Alaska Fairbanks have confirmed existence of a distinct atmospheric phenomenon which appears similar to the aurora but is visible at lower latitudes.
A little bit toward the equator on the southern edge of where you normally see the aurora.
UAF Geophysical Institute Associate Professor Don Hampton says the pinkish mauve-colored formations were first identified as something different from the aurora by photographers who labeled them Steve after the unknown in the comic strip Over the Hedge.
The animals in the forest, you know, they're up against this hedge and they don't know what's going on the other side, so they just decided to call it Steve. And so the photographers decided to come up with the same thing. They didn't know what it was, so they just decided to call it Steve. So we kind of backfit this acronym.
Steve became an acronym for Strong Thermal Velocity Enhancement, which Hampton says roughly describes the phenomenon. UAF researchers used a spectrograph to differentiate from the aurora.
So that was really sort of the clincher to say, yeah, this is not electrons coming down and bumping into our atmosphere and creating those normal auroral colors. This seems to be something sort of like your stovetop getting very hot and just sort of glowing.
Hampton says Steve occurs in an area of the upper atmosphere known to have a lot of plasma motion.
There's an electric field up there, and that moves the charged particles around, and they move at very high speeds. And then those plasma particles bump into the neutral particles, and this is what's called, we call it Joule heating. It's sort of the same thing as if you run a current through a resistor, the resistor will get a little bit hot. So it's the collisions of these high-speed plasma particles bumping into the neutrals is the best guess we have right now.
Hampton says mystery remains around Steve, and future research will focus on the mechanics of what's going on and how they generate high temperatures. I'm Dan Bross.